CBS News. Democrats meet Thursday in an effort to determine what to do about the price of gasoline. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Democrats in both the House and Senate had promised to present a unified alternative to President Ford's energy plan Thursday, but there are now wide differences in approach and philosophy. The Senate group wants a gasoline tax increase of no more than 5 cents per gallon, earmarked for conservation and energy research. The House Energy Task Force favors a gasoline tax increase of 16 cents by 1977 with the purpose of discouraging consumption. One of the House Ways and Means Committee groups is proposing legislation increasing the gasoline tax as much as 50 cents a gallon by 1980. Under that plan, motorists would receive coupons exempting the driver from paying the higher tax on a basic ration of gasoline, for example, 30 gallons a month. Then there is another opinion. Democratic Senator Warren Magnuson of Washington says, "I don't know why everybody suddenly seized upon an increase in the gas price to solve our energy problems." The groups will meet Thursday morning in a new attempt to reach a consensus. Vice President Rockefeller was in Detroit Wednesday evening. He told 3,000 automotive engineers the nation is looking to them for a breakthrough in fuel economy. The administration is seeking a 40% improvement in automobile gasoline mileage by 1980. Two tax relief measures reached the floor of the House Thursday. One is basically President Ford's $12 billion bill. The other is from the House Ways and Means Committee. It seeks tax relief totaling $21 billion. More CBS News after this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy, and here with me at the kitchen table, Mr. Dennis Brackett.
Let me hop up here on the table, Mike Roy, do a little soft shoe. We're on tomorrow's cook thing over the CBS radio net. What you got down there in the pot?
I got a mustard sauce you can serve with any kind of meat and poultry. I want you to know it's zippy, tangy, and gives that pork roast especially that extra little zing that it needs. Pizzazz, we call it down around the old kitchen farm.
You're never too old to cut Mike Roy's mustard. By golly, tomorrow here on the cook thing on the CBS radio net.
Another American has been kidnapped in Argentina. He is John Patrick Egan, the U.S. Honorary Consul in Cordoba. Authorities say about a dozen presumed leftist guerrillas kidnapped Egan from his combined home and office Wednesday evening. Egan, a retired businessman, attended to American interest in Cordoba, Argentina's second largest city, about 450 miles northwest of Buenos Aires. Congress has approved and sent to the White House authorization for $347 million in grants and loans to the Penn Central and Erie Lackawanna railroads. Supply planes are now en route between Saigon and Phnom Penh, Cambodia. The United States is providing 18,000 tons of rice in an emergency airlift. The rice normally moves by barges up the Mekong River to Phnom Penh, but the channel is blocked by rebel insurgents, virtually strangling the Cambodian capital. The Ford administration is seeking an additional $222 million in aid for Cambodia between now and July. Administration spokesmen have said the aid is necessary for the survival of Cambodia. However, the New York Times reports in Thursday's edition that Secretary of Defense Schlesinger believes Cambodia will fall whether Congress approves the emergency aid or not. According to the Times, that is Schlesinger's private opinion. That is not what he is saying in public. Secretary of State Kissinger reportedly believes that even with American aid, the Phnom Penh government's chances of survival are from zero to 50-50. More CBS News after this.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, You've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
Participants in the administration's Vietnam War clemency program, like many others, are having a difficult time finding a job in the economic climate. Public service jobs are an intrinsic part of the clemency program. Of the more than 4,000 participants, only 850 are employed in alternate service. The executive director of the Metropolitan Opera called the staff together in New York Wednesday and asked them to take a 10% pay cut next season. He said the company payrolls account for 80% of the budget, and there is no other way for the opera to avoid financial collapse. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Weather outlook for the Puget Sound Country. At 6 minutes past 10, occasional rain through Friday. Lows tonight, about 40. Daytime highs tomorrow in the mid-50s. Chance of measurable precipitation, 70% Thursday, 80% Thursday night. Temperature 46 downtown and at the airport. Some last-minute NBA scores. Seattle lost today. Washington 104, Seattle Supersonics 98. Boston 121, New York Knicks 103. Detroit 104, Milwaukee 84. And Phoenix Suns 108, Cleveland Cavaliers 96. Those are all finals. The spirit of Jack the Ripper haunts the lives of the people in tonight's CBS Radio Mystery Theater drama. Listen next on KIXI Seattle.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I forget who, but someone once said that fate is like a madman with an axe waiting for us around the next corner. Which is to say, of course, that however serene our lives, we never know whether the madman is lurking around the next corner we turn, ready to take a vicious swipe at us with that axe. In point of which, consider the case of Lucas Lauder, warden of a certain state prison in a certain western state.
John, in heaven's name, will you try to understand what I'm saying? In less than 3 hours, Guy Richards will be executed. Dropped through that trap door to his death.
Which will mean the end, I hope, Luke, of this whole insane nightmare you've been going through.
Now,
yes, and putting me through.
You don't believe. You still don't believe.
I have to be mad to believe. Stark raving mad.
If Guy Richards dies, worse than madness may lie ahead for you, Joan. Much worse.
Our mystery drama, The Strange Case of Lucas Lauder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Robert Lansing. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you're on the verge of buying a new small car, buy a small Buick. Not just because I say so, but because of what I'm about to tell you. The three small Buicks, Skyhawk, Skylark, and Apollo, are newly designed for 1975. Their styling is fresh, their engineering is up to date. Each of these small Buicks is powered by a spirited new V6 engine that delivers excellent gas mileage. Each of these small Buicks has steel-belted radial tires. They each have a high-energy ignition system, spark plugs that last nearly four times longer than before. And of course, they each have typically comfortable Buick interiors. There's one other reason for choosing a small Buick. If you take delivery of a new Skyhawk by February 28, 1975, Buick will send you a check for $500. If you take delivery of a Skylark or an Apollo by February 28th, Buick will send you $200. So if you're going to buy a small car, Buy a small Buick at your Buick dealer.
If you're a businessman, you know how fast advertising costs are rising. Adflation, it's called. Wouldn't you like to stretch your ad budget, increase reach without increasing cost? It can be done. It's been proven. The market was San Francisco, the time spring 74. The budget, $8,000. That money in television reached almost 1.5 million adults and delivered over 2 million impressions. Then the budget was split, 50% TV, 50% radio. Adult reach increased 28%, and commercial impressions more than doubled on the same budget. Across the country in New York, a similar study proved the same point. Radio in a mix with TV improves the buy. Radio is efficient. It's being welcomed into more and more media plans. Why not? After all, radio's a great mixer. Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight inflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
As we know, the death penalty is outlawed in many states, but in some, it is still enforced. In such special cases as the murder of a policeman, death through kidnapping, and or particularly vicious crimes. Our story begins in just such a state, in the condemned cell of that state's prison.
You sent a message you wanted to see me, Richards.
And thank you, Warden. Thanks very much for answering it this quickly. Won't you sit down?
What is it, Richards?
I want to discuss my case with you.
There's nothing to discuss. You were legally tried, legally convicted. If you think there's something I can do to save
oh,
you...
Oh, no. It's nothing like that. Warden, I was guilty. I freely admitted murdering those women, all four of them, and mutilating them with a butcher knife. No. The name the newspapers gave me was well-deserved. Guy the Ripper.
All right, then what is it you want to see me about?
Warden, hasn't it ever struck you as odd, curious, that someone of my breeding and background could be guilty of four such horrible murders? Murders and mutilations identical with those done by Jack the Ripper nearly a century ago?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it has. Me and quite a few others. If you'd been judged insane...
But I wasn't so judged. Nor was I insane. No, I am as sane as the next one. For whatever that's worth.
Richards, I'm a very busy man.
Prefer to spend as little time as possible in the company of anyone as vicious and depraved as Guy Richards. Yes, I know. But that's exactly why I asked you to come and see me. Warden, before very long, you're going to be spending all your time in my company. I don't blame you for looking puzzled. Let me explain.
Yes, do explain.
A little more than a year ago, Warden, I was a professor of parapsychology at the university. I was happily married, successful, and deeply involved in my work. And then suddenly, shockingly, for no apparent reason, I became... Well, the embodiment, you might say, of a man who has been dead for many, many years. Jack the Ripper. It began, Warden. It all began one morning in my office at State University. Come in. Well, Eric Nordling. It's good to see you.
Good to be back, Guy.
Good to have you back. I can't tell you how much I've missed you this past month. It's like missing my right arm.
Oh, nonsense.
I'll be frank with you. When you went into the hospital for those tests a month ago, I didn't expect I'd miss you as much at all.
Well, why should you? I'm just an assistant professor.
Ah, but what an assistant. You remember when you left, you and the class were analyzing those strange, gruesome murders that had taken place? The three women? You remember?
I remember.
Well, I took over for you, and believe me, the class soon let me know that I just wasn't in it with you. They said no one, not even me, could touch you when it came to explaining the murderer's drives and motivations. In fact, they said you understood and explained them so well, they wouldn't be surprised if you were the murderer. Well, what is it, Eric? Eric?
Guy,
I am the murderer.
Well, I can see you're not joking, Eric.
I'm not.
I also know that you haven't been well.
In fact, I'm very sick. Guy, I'm dying. But none of that changes the simple truth that I murdered those women and mutilated them. Guy, I'm Jack the Ripper. No, I'm not crazy. As a professor of parapsychology, you do believe that people can be possessed by the spirits of the dead?
I keep an open mind, or try to.
Well, I can tell you that possession is a fact. For some time now, I have been possessed by the spirit of Jack the Ripper.
Eric, if I didn't know you better, I'd say that you're really possessed of a dose of LSD. But since I...
Guy, believe me. What I'm telling you is the truth. Believe me, because you're about to become Jack the Ripper.
Eric, you're ill. I can tell from looking at you. You're seriously...
I am. I'm dying. I told you that. They've given me less than 2 months to live.
Oh, Eric.
It's terminal. In less than 2 months, I'll be dead. And the day I die, the instant I die, the Ripper's spirit will leave my body and enter yours. You don't believe me, do you?
Of course not.
Well, then I'll have to prove it. You've taken your penknife out of your pocket and you're opening a blade.
Well, yes, to clean out my pipe. What's so unusual about that?
Does your pipe need cleaning?
Well, no, but...
You acted on impulse. Sudden, inexplicable desire. Desire to hold a knife in your hand.
Oh, now, of all the senseless...
It isn't senseless. And if you think so, try to put the knife back in your pocket. Well, go ahead. Close the blade. Put the knife back in your pocket.
I haven't done what I intended to do, clean out my pipe.
Is that what you intended to do? Oh, in heaven's name, Guy, be honest with yourself, is it?
No.
Now, what do you intend to do with that knife? What do you want to do with it?
I want to kill with it, to strike and slash. What is this? What?
It's Jack the Ripper using your body. You needed proof, and I just gave it to you. I took possession of you for a few moments. But when Eric Nordling dies, I'll become Guy Richards till he dies. And after that...
Oh, no, this, it's madness.
You deny you felt an overwhelming urge to strike and slash?
No, but there's got to be some explanation.
There is. You can pick up your knife and put it away. Or clean your pipe, if you really want to.
Well, Warden, those were Eric Nordling's words, almost his identical words, just before he told me what I'm about to tell you.
That I'm about to become Jack the Ripper.
The day, the instant, I die. Yes.
If there's anything further you want...
Now, wait, don't go.
Now, look, Richards, your time is short, and I...
Yours is.
And I want to do everything I can to make the next few days easy for you. But when it comes to listening to the kind of story you just told me, I haven't the time.
You don't believe it either, huh? Even I didn't. With all my knowledge of the occult, the psychic, I couldn't bring myself to believe in anything so impossible. Seemingly impossible.
I'm nutty is the word.
You think I've got a little, what do they call it here, stir-crazy?
No, you haven't been in long enough for that. I'm not calling it anything. I'm not thinking anything. Look, you wanted to get something off your chest, you got it off. I'll be gone.
No, please. Listen,
Richards, I don't
listen
have time.
For just 1 minute more. At 6 a.m, 2 days from now, I'll be hanged for murders every bit as revolting as those of Jack the Ripper. Because I am Jack the Ripper. This body, you see, is the body of Guy Richards, once respected university professor. But I, the spirit that inhabits this body, well, I am, I assure you, Jack the Ripper. Now, let me assure you, as Eric Nordling assured Guy Richards, at the very instant the rope snaps my neck, on that instant, Warden, you will become Jack the Ripper.
If there's anything further I can do...
And I'll prove it to you as I made Nordling prove it to Richards. Now, before you go to bed tonight, you will feel that same strong, overpowering urge, need to strike and slash with a knife. Before you go to bed tonight...
That's really one of the strangest stories you've ever brought home with you. More potatoes?
Thanks. It's funny, though.
What?
Well, and don't ask me why I did this. I certainly didn't believe a word of Richard's story. Not a word, but I guess curiosity got the better of me.
What?
I checked at the university. Richards did have an assistant named Eric Nordling, and he did die when Richards said he did.
Doesn't mean anything.
And still, that part of Richard's story was true. Joni, what do you think?
What do I think?
Well, he's kind of interested in that stuff, yoga and astrology and the psychic and all.
Oh,
that.
Not really.
Yeah, but you do have an interest.
And not a serious interest.
Still, what do you think?
I think I'd like another piece of roast beef. That's what I think.
Okay. I'll try not to be so heavy-handed this time.
Oh, you weren't heavy-handed. Just slice it a smidgen thinner, that's all. Just a smidgen.
Smidgen it is, and easily done with a knife as razor sharp as this.
Won't be done at all if you don't stop staring at that knife and cut me a slice. Luke? What?
It's nothing. I was just thinking.
Thinking what?
The way Richards talked this afternoon, you'd have thought I was going to grab it the first chance I got to carve up some likely female. You, for instance.
Don't say things like that, Luke, not even jokingly.
I'm sorry. But can you imagine anyone like me, for instance, starting to cut a slice of roast beef and then changing my mind and deciding to carve a few slices out of you?
No, I can't, and I'd just as soon not.
The table, like this. Holding the carving knife in my hand. This razor sharp carving knife. I'd come around the table toward you.
Luke, please.
And when I got to you, I'd stand over you. I'd look deep into your eyes, and then raise the knife high over my head and plunge it.
Luke, what's come over you? If this is a joke, it isn't your kind of joke. It was a joke, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Sure. It was a joke. What else?
What else indeed? What else could it be? It could be what Warden Lucas Lauder knows it was. No joke at all. That for a few moments in time, he was gripped by, driven by, an all but overwhelming urge to strike with that knife, slash with that knife, kill with that knife. I'll return in a moment for Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. A little better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you.
I come home in the evening.
As I said earlier, fate is sometimes likened to a madman with an axe, and it would surely seem that Lucas Lauder, warden of State's Prison, has run head-on into him. When Guy Richards told Lucas that he was really Jack the Ripper, that his body was possessed by the spirit of the Ripper, Lucas laughed. But his laugh turned to a worried frown when he came dangerously close to stabbing the wife he loves. Now in Lucas' office at State's Prison the following afternoon.
No, Jerry. No, look, I don't mean to be harsh, but I think Maxwell's privileges should be taken away for a while. Yes, a week at least. All right, goodbye. Yes, Miss Conley?
They brought Guy Richards over, Warden.
All right, tell them to bring him in.
Yes, sir. Bring him in.
All right, boys, you wait outside. Sit down, Richards.
Thank you.
Richards, I want to talk to you about, among other things, I want to talk about your personal effects.
Well, we've talked about that. I told you, I don't give a damn what you do with them.
Warden, you didn't have me brought here to talk about my property. You brought me here to talk about what happened to you last night.
If you're going to start again on that nonsense about being Jack the Ripper...
It isn't nonsense, and you know it. Now, you also know that when I go through the trap less than 48 hours from now, you'll become Jack the Ripper. You know it because I put you through a sort of trial run, you might say, last night. What did happen last night, Wharton?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about what your wife, Joan, thought was a sick joke. But was no joke at all. I'm talking about how you stood over her with a carving knife. The knife you'd been using for the roast beef. Right? Oh, look, you're not going to be sick, are you?
How do you know that's what happened?
I was there. How else?
No. No, that's impossible. What you're saying is impossible.
Incredible, yes. But not impossible. I explained to you yesterday, or tried to explain, that I took this body when Eric Nordling died, just as I occupied his body when... Oh, well, it doesn't matter who died before him or before him. All that matters to you, or should matter to you, is that you're next on that list to, shall we say, play host to Jack the Ripper.
But why?
Why?
Yes. Look, you must have died What am I saying? Jack the Ripper must have died many, many years ago.
In 1907, to be exact.
All right, then you've been dead. I mean, damn it, the Ripper has been dead nearly 70 years.
But his spirit, my spirit, has lived on in others.
All right, that's what I'm getting at. Why?
Because I cannot rest.
Why, because of the awful crimes you committed?
No, not because of the crimes. But the reason behind them. The evil in me that drove me to what I did. The hate.
No, I don't understand.
There is nothing to understand. It's quite simple. A spirit, a soul, is given an earthly body and forced to suffer through what you call life. Forced to go through this agony again and again and again until it is cleansed completely of evil, of hate. The evil in me was so great it will take, well, only the Lord knows how many lifetimes to wipe it away. Unless...
Unless?
Unless it meets a love as pure as the hate is evil. A soul as tender as the hate is brutal. A spirit as compassionate as the hate is ruthless. And that will never be.
Never?
No such love exists. No such soul, no such spirit. Not on this earth, that's for sure.
You really believe what you're saying, don't you? You really believe that you are actually Jack the Ripper.
Oh, for the love... I'm going to give you another taste of what it's going to be like to be Jack the Ripper.
If you think for one minute that I
don't care what you believe. Just do me a favor and send me back to my cell.
Yes, Warden?
Richards will go back to his cell now.
Yes, sir. Richards is going back now.
Remember what I said, Warden. I'm going to give you another taste. Soon. All right, let's go.
Warden...
Yes, Miss Conway.
It's near time for me to go home, and the buses get awful crowded in weather like this, so I was wondering, could I leave now?
Sure, yes, of course. Go ahead. Wait a minute.
Yes, sir?
I was about to leave myself. I'll drive you home.
Oh, no, sir. I couldn't take you out of your way.
No, it's not out of my way. Not much, anyhow.
If you're sure it's no trouble.
No trouble at all. It'll be a pleasure.
Nice of you.
I'll see you to your door.
Oh, no need for that.
No, I insist. There have been a lot of muggings in this neighborhood.
Some.
So I want to be sure that you get to your apartment safe and sound.
Well, thanks again. You're awfully kind.
That's not at all, Miss Conway. I wonder if I might use your phone.
Oh, sure.
Just call home, let my wife know I'll be a little late. Second thought, there's no sense in calling. I won't be that late.
Oh, only 5 or 10 minutes.
Hey, boy, look at the rain and the wind against the window. Chills me to the bone just looking at it.
Why, I couldn't give you a drink, could I, sir?
No, Miss Conway, I wasn't hinting, you know.
Oh, I didn't think you were, but, well, if you would like a drink.
Why not? I'd love one.
I keep the liquor in the kitchen. It's scotch, isn't it?
Just a short one.
I won't be a minute.
No, I'll come with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course not.
Never been in your apartment before. I'd like to see how my secretary lives.
Oh, not very fancy, I'm afraid.
It looks nice. It's comfortable. You live alone?
Yes, I tried living with someone else, but it just didn't work out. Here you are.
Yeah, thanks. That's good scotch.
Glad you like it.
Where'd you get those knives?
Knives?
Yeah, the knife set on the wall.
Oh, those are... I don't know. I've had them so long. Why?
Oh, I like knives. Good ones, that is. Those look good. Do you mind if I...
Well, no. Be my guest.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Feel that edge. You don't often see knives kept in this good condition. This sharp.
It's no thanks to me. I just use them, never sharpen them.
Razor. Sharp. They fit in the hand perfectly. Those are the most beautiful knives I've seen in over 70 years. Jane.
Get out of my cell, Warden. I don't have to put up with this.
What are you doing to me? You answer me, Richards. What are you doing?
I've told you.
You've told me a lot of nonsense about you being Jack the... taking possession of me, my body, when you die. I don't buy that.
But you're up to something. You've done something to me. And I'm not leaving this cell till you tell me what it is.
You're scared, Warden? Of what you came dangerously close to doing to your secretary yesterday? And will do, not long after you hang me? The urge, the nearly overpowering urge, I stayed your hand, not you, to plunge the knife into her, to slash...
Stop it, see?
Stop it!
Now, you listen to me. I'm no fool. Yesterday, I nearly murdered that girl. And somehow, you know all about it. But I stayed my hand, not you, because I'm not a killer.
And how do I know what went on in that kitchen?
I don't know how you've devoted your life to parapsychology, and you know all there is to know about things like ESP, thought transference, hypnotism.
That's it. Hypnotism, like Nordling, you're a hypnotist.
Somehow or other, I don't know how, you managed to hypnotize me when I was talking to you. You put ideas in my head. Post-hypnotic suggestion, I think it's called.
You cannot give a post-hypnotic command that's contrary to the subject's normal fiber. Warden, it would be impossible for me or anyone to command you to kill. It isn't in you to kill. But that will all change when I am in you. At approximately a second or two after 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Oh, which reminds me, I have a gift for you. Here.
A knife?
A knife.
Where did you get this?
It was made for me in the prison machine shop from a soup ladle. A soup ladle carefully ground down at the edges, skillfully shaped into a knife, expertly sharpened.
How did you manage to have this made? How did you manage to have this made?
Calm, Warden, you know your prison as well as I, or you should, and obviously don't. Anything can be done in a prison if you know the ropes. Here, the knife. Take it.
Ed. Ed? You take that knife from Richards and get rid of it. See me in my office later and you explain how he got it. Now, wait a minute. Here, give it to me, huh? I'll get rid of it.
Not until you've used it. Not till I, the Ripper, have used it. Again. And again. And again.
Ed, I don't want to see this man again until his execution tomorrow morning at 6. If he has any last-minute requests, you handle them. If he has any questions, you answer them. If he wants to see me for any reasons, no. Tomorrow morning, Richards, I'll see you then, and not until then. 6 o'clock. On the scaffold, Richards.
On the scaffold, when the noose will be tightened round the neck of Guy Richards, the trap will be sprung, and he'll plummet to death. Or will it be life? Another life to be lived out in the body of Warden Lucas Lauder. I'll return shortly for Act 3.
When you say bed, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say. When you say bed, you've gone as far as you can go to get the very best. When you say bed, you've said the world that means you like to do it all. When you say bed, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say bud, Budweiser,
You said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis. Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
There's much talk these days about possession, the control of a human being by an evil spirit. Probably such talk has gone on since man can remember. Intense discussion, even violent debate, as to whether possession is a form of schizophrenia or a malignant spirit which has invaded an earthly body. For Lucas Lauder, warden of State's Prison, it isn't a subject for idle debate, but a frightening reality. In the bedroom of his home, a short distance from the prison itself.
Luke?
Go to sleep, Joan.
I know it's impossible for you to sleep the night before an execution, but this time there's something else.
Yeah. Joan, I'm scared.
Of what, dear?
I haven't just been sitting here in this chair watching you while you slept.
Yes?
I've been fighting an urge. A powerful urge to kill you.
Kill me?
Yeah, with this.
Where did you get that?
Richards gave it to me. Ugly looking knife, isn't it? Somehow he managed to get it made in the machine shop and have it smuggled to him. He gave it to me as a present.
It's a strange kind of present.
No, it's not a present to me, Joan. It's to himself.
Oh, that nonsense.
Nonsense?
About him being the reincarnation of Jack the Ripper.
Oh, he is. He is. I laughed, too, at first, but he is the Ripper. In possession of Guy Richards' body. And at 6 this morning, less than 3 hours from now, he'll be in possession of mine.
Luke, darling, you can't be serious. You don't really believe that.
After what's happened, I'd be a fool if I didn't.
What has happened?
I had to bring myself to talk about it. He told me he was going to take possession of me temporarily for a short time to prepare me for what's to come after he hangs.
Well, you didn't take that seriously.
No, not then, but within an hour, I nearly stabbed Miss Conley to death.
Your secretary?
I drove her home in that storm day before yesterday. I invited myself in.
You?
Pretended I wanted to use the phone to call you, but I had no intention of using that phone. I just wanted to get into her apartment to...
To kill her?
I didn't know it then. I didn't know why I tricked my way in, but... Well, then I sort of led her into offering me a drink, and I went with her into the kitchen where she keeps the liquor. While she was making the drink, I noticed a set of knives, kitchen knives, you know, on the wall. I pretended to admire them, and I took one to examine it only. I wasn't examining it. I was thinking...
Luke... My darling.
Now, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't even come near me. It's dangerous.
Dangerous? Luke, what are you saying?
I can do to you right now, right now, what I came close to doing to her. The urge was powerful then, but it's even more powerful now. It's almost as if the closer I get to Richard's hanging, the more the urge grows inside me.
Luke.
I don't have any control. John, no control anymore. This knife, I gave it to the guard to get rid of. No. I started to give it to him, and then I changed my mind. I mean, I was forced to change it by a power stronger than me, and so I kept it and brought it home. And I've been sitting here for hours holding it in my hand, fighting off a terrible obsession to kill you with it.
Oh, my poor darling, to think what you've been going through, and I never knew.
How can you think of me when you're the one who's in danger?
Well, because I don't believe I am in danger, not from you.
I just told you. I
don't care what you told me. I care about what I know, and I know you love me.
Oh, yes, I love you, but
He'll be dead in a few hours. Dead! And all this business about his spirit possessing you, I don't believe it.
I tell you, I came close, that close, to killing Miss Coleman.
And killing me, you say, but you didn't.
Yeah, but next time...
There won't be a next time, because once Guy Richard dies, his power over you will be ended. Oh, Luke, don't you see what's happened to you?
Yes, I see. He's possessed me.
Nonsense. I can give you... I don't know how many reasons why it is just plain nonsense.
All right, give me just one.
But I've read a lot about Richards in the papers, and you've told me a lot about him. He's a skilled hypnotist. I don't know much, if anything, about hypnotism, but it seems to me that he could have brought you under some kind of hypnotic influence.
No, I can't believe
it. Another thing I know about him, his personality is strong, overpowering, viciously overpowering. Just talking to someone like that, being near him, could do strange things to a person.
No, I don't care how many reasons you can dress up. I know what I know. I know what I've got to do.
What?
I've got to stop the execution.
Luke, you can't do that.
Well, I can try. It's my only hope. I've got to stop that execution. I've got to save him to save myself. I know it's only 4 a.m, but this is a matter of life or death. You get the district attorney out of bed. I'll wait.
Luke, try to pull yourself together. Telephoning the district attorney at this hour? What are you going to say to
Hello,
him?
Hello, Mr. McGowan. I'm sorry to wake you at this hour, sir. Thank you, yes. It is urgent. I want to stop the execution of Guy Richards at 6 this morning. On what grounds? I have reason to think he's innocent. No, sir, there's no proof. No real proof, but... Look, McGowan, I want you to call the governor if necessary. McGowan, I beg you, right? Yes, I see. I see. In that case, I'll phone the governor myself.
Luke, darling, you can't phone the governor.
Operator, this is Warden Lucas Lauder of State's Prison. I want to put through a call, an urgent call to Governor Morris at the state capitol. And hurry, please hurry.
Well?
He refused.
Well, you couldn't expect.
No, I didn't. I hoped against hope. I'd better get ready. Richards has less than an hour to go. And so have I. It's time, Richards.
You're telling me.
If you're ready.
Question is, are you?
Come on, let's go.
You're tired, Warden. No sleep, eh? Well, don't worry about it. You'll sleep just fine tonight. The Ripper always sleeps well. Afterward.
After what?
Having killed. Well, I didn't know there'd be an audience to see the end of Guy Richards.
The press. Straight ahead of the scaffold, Richards.
You're sweating, Warden. Calm down.
Make you feel any better, there's no pain to this. Over in an instant, you know. I've been through it once before. The man whose body I took before Eric Nordling's. Well, here we are. A moment in destiny. For us both.
All right, Ed.
Oh, do we really need the hood? Well, yes, I guess we do. Spare the feelings of our audience. Go ahead.
Just one thing to say, Warden, before you pull the trap.
Yes?
This isn't goodbye. I'll be with you again soon.
Agreements with Red China. That's the latest news from the nation's capital. Guy Richards, the notorious Guy the Ripper, was executed this morning at State's prison.
That's enough news for one day. I'm for bed. You, Luke? Luke?
What?
It's after 11. Time for bed.
Oh. Yeah, Joan.
Yes, dear?
Where did you put it?
Put what?
The knife. I mean, don't look at me as though you didn't know what I was talking about. The knife Richards gave me.
I know what knife you're talking about, but I don't know why you're asking me where I put it.
You didn't take it? I put it in the top drawer of this table. You saw me put it there. I put it there so you could get rid of it. You didn't?
No.
I can't believe you'd take the chance to... You didn't. The knife is here.
Yes, it is.
Look, I gave you a chance to get rid of it. Why didn't you?
Why didn't you? If you wanted to be rid of it, why didn't you simply throw it away?
I don't know.
I think I do. You were testing me, testing my love for you.
Testing your love?
If I had done what you thought I'd do, it would have shown that my love for you isn't as strong as I said it was. And it's quite possible you really might have tried to kill me. You could always get another knife.
But thanks to you, I have this one.
Then use it, if you can.
What?
Luke, we're going to come to this sooner or later. I don't know how Guy Richards persuaded you he was Jack the Ripper and that he would possess you once he died, but he did. You said last night that the urge to kill was growing stronger in you, and you were convinced once Richard was hanged, it would become so strong you'd never be able to control it.
It's been doing that all day. It's growing in me. Filling me with a need, a lust to take this knife.
I know. And unless this obsession of yours is smashed now, right now, you'll kill. Sooner or later, you will kill. Well, if you're going to do it, do it. Do it and get it over with.
Oh, you're taunting me. You're taunting me because, like all women, you have contempt for me.
I love
you. Oh, you're lying. You don't love. You don't know the meaning of love. Hate, oh, that's something else again. That's something you know all about. I think I'm not on to you, all of you. Let me tell you something. I've spent months, years watching you and the likes of you.
Luke, what?
And your little tricks luring men. And, oh, don't think I didn't see you today, this very day in Leicester Square, flaunting your charm.
Leicester Square?
Leicester Square, Piccadilly, Fleet Street, wherever you could sell yourself.
Luke, now snap out of it. Pull yourself together.
Look about you. Take your last long look before you die. You see that gaslight at the end of the alley? Oh, you see it for the last time.
Gaslight?
Listen. You hear the carriages and the coaches, the horses, for the last time. And then feel. You feel the point of this knife against your throat. Feel the cold steel against your skin before the Ripper plunges it deep into your dirty little neck. Plunges it now! I can't. I want to. I can't. Why can't I?
Because you're not Jack the Ripper. You're Lucas Lauder, my husband. The Ripper hated. You love. You love me every bit as much as I love you.
God, I do.
I do.
Dearest.
Richard said, the spirit of the Ripper would never be free, never find rest until it met a love as strong as his hate. Heaven knows, Joan, there can't be. There never has been a love as strong as yours. Maybe it's crazy, but I feel he has found that rest at last. Thanks to you.
Well, if you're puzzled by this strange happening to Lucas Laurie, you've got nothing on me. Did Guy Richards in some way place Warden Lauder under an hypnotic influence? Did Richards believe he was truly Jack the Ripper? Was he? What do you think? I'll be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
When I told this story to a friend of mine who is a psychic, a sensitive, she said that of course Guy Richards was the reincarnate Jack the Ripper. Another friend, a psychiatrist, said, nonsense, a clear case of a split personality. Which is right, I don't know. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in between. Wherever it lies, it makes a good story. I hope you enjoyed it. Our cast included Robert Lansing, Linka Peterson, Ralph Bell, Ira Lewis, and Patricia Pearden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Your room is high above the ground on the far side of the estate.
Room? This isn't a room. It's a cage.
So it is, Mr. Schiller.
What is this? Barred window, steel door? It's like a prison cell.
It is a prison cell, Mr. Schiller.
But why? Why am I here?
To serve your sentence. I've judged your case and found you guilty.
No.
Well, it's all very well and good to say no, but here you are, aren't you? Here they all are. And here they'll stay until their brains rot and their bodies decay.
They? You mean there are others?
Yes, Mr. Schiller. Others who have broken God's law and must pay for it.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS Radio News follows next at 11. Bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. News. The United States has started a big airlift of food to Cambodia. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Three big jets landed at Phnom Penh's airport Thursday morning. They were carrying rice, badly needed to keep Cambodians alive, now that insurgents have the city cut off by land and water. Private American cargo planes will fly about 450 rice missions to Phnom Penh in the next 30 days. As supplies were being unloaded from one plane, two rebel rockets slammed into the airport. No damage, nobody hurt. More news in a moment.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts once a month wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts once a month wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts once a month wormer. For dogs and cats. The Marine Corps Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. Men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. Men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. We're looking for a few good men to become peacekeepers and stand ready with the Marine Corps Reserve.
President Ford headed back to Washington Wednesday night after a couple of days in Florida. There was an unexpected announcement aboard Air Force One. The president is backing off on plans to nominate Lawrence Silberman as his chief trade negotiator. This after pressure from some key senators. But the White House denies the president did it to try to win votes for his oil tariff hike. The House Rules Committee has cleared a $21 billion tax cut bill. It could go to the House floor Thursday for debate and the offering of amendments. Right now, the most controversial part of it is a section to end the tax break for oil men known as the depletion allowance. That part could mean further delay, which President Ford doesn't like. George Herman has a report.
Congressional spokesman would not deny the president's charge that the quick tax cut bill might be delayed until June. Chairman Al Ullman of the House Ways and Means Committee says he can't think of a bill this big that's moved more rapidly through committee, but he adds that if the oil depletion repeal provision stays in the bill, the president may turn out to be right. CBS News asked his Senate counterpart, Russell Long of Louisiana, whether he thought the president was right.
Might be, and then again he might not. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we'll move as expeditiously as we can, and recognizing that we're not operating with a stopwatch, we're operating with a calendar. We hope to have it by the date the president would like, but I'm not putting in a deadline like that on myself.
Long said his committee might try to strip off the oil depletion part, or might soften it, or might offer a complete substitute for the entire House bill. And any one of these moves means a long House-Senate conference. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
About 3,000 automotive engineers gathered at Detroit's Cobo Hall Wednesday night to hear a speech by Vice President Rockefeller. He called on Congress to get going on President Ford's energy and economic programs. Rockefeller also said government and industry are working to save gasoline.
They cooperatively worked out a plan whereby the industry will voluntarily improve gas mileage by 40% by model year 1980, while the administration has proposed reasonable deferment of the 1977-78 clean air standards to make this fuel economy goal possible. Now that's the kind of working together on a realistic basis to solve problems.
Rockefeller said any solution to the energy problem must take into account the big role that cars play in our society. The world's big oil producers met in Vienna Wednesday talking about what they might do if the value of the American dollar goes much lower. They talked of actions that would have the effect of making foreign oil more expensive to Americans. But Iran's delegate said they will wait a couple of months to see if the dollar bounces back. More news after this word.
3 or 1? That's the question when you catch the common cold. Then take 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief from sneezing, congestion, drips. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. Your cold, your choice. 6 or 3 or 1. Give your cold to Contact, the number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Give your cold to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact only as directed.
There was a lot of dissent from the laborites, but the British Parliament decided to go ahead and give Queen Elizabeth an extra $1 million a year to live on. The vote was 4-27-90, giving the raise to the royal household under increasing fire lately from critics of the monarchy. One of them described the British blue bloods as glorified civil servants, one of whom has a crown on her head. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
This is KIXI Seattle, CBS for the Puget Sound Country. It's 6 minutes past 11.